Four Dealers of America present the Fred Allen Show. The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guests, Jack Benny and Henry Morgan. Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Finley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And this is Kenny Delmar speaking for your friendly Ford dealer. Now that summer is here, every single one of the more than 6,400 Ford dealers would like to get his hands on every car that's going around with unsafe brakes, tires, or lights, and give it a good going over. Your Ford dealer would like to get his hands on your car to put it in shape for safe family driving. So bring it in tomorrow, why don't you? His expert service will be a revelation. It saves so much time, trouble, and money. And your Ford will be a lot more fun to drive when Ford-trained mechanics using special Ford equipment have gone over it by factory-approved methods. Give your car a new lease on life. You'll be surprised how little it costs when you take your car to the man who knows Ford's best, your friendly Ford dealer. Well, it's Sunday night again, and here comes Fred Allen in his new Ford to keep his weekly date at the corner of Main Street. As Fred steps out of his Ford, he hears a voice say,
Mr. Allen!
Portland, gee. Well, Portland, have you been waiting long?
Oh, I've been looking at the pictures outside the newsreel theater.
Oh, really? What's new in the newsreels this week?
The Gregory Pecks had another boy.
Yeah?
They have three boys now.
Three little Pecks, eh?
One more Peck, and they'll have a bushel.
Yeah. Yeah. What is that? What is that?
I'd like to start things off with a laugh.
With a laugh, huh? It would be better if you started things off with a joke, you know. It would help.
Oh, a joke.
Yeah.
As the envelope said to the postage stamp, stick to me and we'll go places.
Now, wait a minute. Now, look, wait a minute. Don't...
Well, I'm as hot as last Wednesday.
You are as hot as any corner of an ice cube.
If I can keep up this pace, I'll end up with my own program.
Yes, you will. The way radio is going, that is quite possible. Tell me, what else is in the news?
Milton Berle has a newspaper column.
Oh, I have seen that. I read it from right to left. You know, they have it in the paper where you do.
Milton wants everybody to know he's a columnist.
I know. Berle walks around Lindy's on his knees so that people will think he's Billy Rose.
Milton went out to Hollywood to make a picture for Warner Brothers.
Yes, I saw that, too. It's going to take 3 weeks after the picture's made. He has to pop his own corn to go with the picture. When Burl's picture plays the Strand, it will pack the streets. Well, enough about Mr. Television. Burl is the only comedian I know who uses an air wick for a straight man.
Say, I just happened to think. You told me to remind you about Jack Igan.
Oh, yes, Jack Igan. Tonight will be the last time Jack Igan's name will ever be mentioned on our program.
Are you going to bid him farewell?
Yes, Portland, I am. Let us bow our heads, sister, and face... and face the Copacabana. As for the last time we mention his name, Jack Igan. Well, Portland, there's nothing more to say. I think I'll pick up my paper.
May I come along?
Sure, let's take a walk down Main Street.
What does the paper say?
Say, here's an ad for that radio program I'm going to be on tomorrow night.
Oh, DuPont's Cavalcade of America, the life of Sue Chan.
You know, he owns the House of Chan, and I'm going to interview him on the program. It'll be very interesting, my dialect and his blending that way. It'll come out... Say, here's an item. Look at this. As the first day of summer arrived this past week, millions of Americans started planning their vacations.
Do you think most people really plan their vacations?
Who knows? Let's ask some people as we're walking down Main Street. This man coming along with the live frogs on his smoking jacket. Pardon me, sir.
Say, Claghorn's a name, Senator Claghorn, that is.
Well, Senator...
If you're telling Fort, ain't no gypsy to me.
But,
Don't hold me up, son. I'm busier than a man with St. Vitus dance trying to put on his long underwear.
You're busy?
Yeah, I'm heading a committee in Washington to track down them 5%ers.
Oh, the 5%ers. Have you trapped any of those 5%ers, Senator?
Well, I got my eye on one little wasp.
Yeah?
He's got a second-hand hearing device. He's still pretty deep.
And he's a 5%er?
Yeah, the Navy ordered 200 boats.
200 boats?
This little deep scissor bill thought to said goats.
You mean the Navy ended up with 200 goats?
With them goats loose in the Navy, son, today it ain't safe to be a rear admiral.
Well, you sure have plenty of problems, Senator.
Yeah, I'm keeping my eye on them Red investigations.
Say, do you think, confidentially, Senator, do you think communism is spreading, do you?
It sure is, son. Them communists is heading for plenty of trouble.
Trouble?
Russia's taking over China.
Where does the trouble come in?
Them Russians are bringing borscht into China.
Borscht?
Son, when a Chinaman tries to lift that wet potato out of his borscht with chopsticks, there's going to be trouble.
Tell me, Senator, do you think most people plan their vacations?
Americans have been planning the same vacations for generations.
Really?
Everybody in America finally gets to Europe.
Finally gets to Europe, eh?
Every year, our civilians go over there for pleasure.
Every year?
And every 20 years, our army goes over there on business.
Portland, come away from that jewelry store window.
I just learned something.
Really?
The diamond is the hardest mineral in the world.
Well, why is the diamond the hardest mineral?
It'll make an impression on a woman.
Say, that's real good, isn't it?
Look who's coming out of Howard Johnson's with the ice cream cone.
Who?
Titus Moody.
Oh, hi, Mr. Moody.
Howdy, Bob.
Mr. Moody. Mr. Moody, do you think most people plan their summer vacations?
Why, it seems to me everybody spends their summers driving around in automobiles.
You are in a position to know this?
I'd say so.
You would, really?
Yeah. I run a roadside stand for motorists.
Really? What do you sell?
My sign says, genuine farm eggs, strictly fresh.
Well, how many chickens do you have?
I don't have none.
Well, with no chickens, how can you run an egg business?
Every morning I buy a lot of eggs at the A&P supermarket.
At the A&P?
I set the eggs out on my roadside stand in nests.
I see.
Then I dress up as a rube.
You dress up as a rube, eh?
Yeah. I put on a big straw hat.
Yeah.
Tie a red bandana around my neck. Stick a straw in my mouth. Then I go down by the road and I lean on a long rake.
Well, what happens when a motorist drives up to your stand?
Why, I start yelling, "Well, I swan, by heck," and other rustic expressions. So, the motorist, he thinks he's dealing with a country jay, a pea picker.
A pea picker, hey?
He says, "How about it, Zeke? Are them eggs fresh?"
Yeah.
And with that, Miss Moody, she's under the counter meditating. She starts clucking.
She's clucking. And the motorist buys the eggs?
I ain't missed a sale in 20 years.
Well, how many eggs do you sell?
Well, I can only sell 60 eggs an hour.
Well, why only 60 eggs an hour?
There's one born every minute. So long, Bob.
So long. Portland, let's cross over here.
Look who's turning the corner.
Mrs. Nussbaum. Mrs. Nussbaum, do you think most people plan their vacations?
Not me. In the summer, it's too hot for taking vacations.
Too hot, you say?
Last year at Far Rockaway, my little puppy, a water spaniel, is percolating to death.
Oh. You lost your dog? Well, what did you do?
To my puppy, I'm dedicating a poem.
Oh, really? What is it called?
A puppy on a hot day I wouldn't want to be.
Yeah, it's a little doggerel, hey? Well, how, how does it go?
A puppy on a hot day I wouldn't want to be. A puppy on a hot day could be someone else, not me. A herring on a hot day I would be. Likewise, a guppy. But one thing I would hate to be on a hot day is a puppy. A puppy on a hot day can wag his tail a minute. This will stir a breeze behind, but the puppy isn't in it. For a puppy, I feel sorry. On a hot day, he will pant. I can take mine coat off, but a little puppy can't.
Good night, Mrs. Nussbaum. Well, Portland, walking down Main Street is like reading a dull book. It's good to come to the end.
You haven't found out anything about people planning their vacations, have you?
Well, I tell you, I'll try one more passerby. This little man coming along with the horseshoe crab for a tie pin. Hi, chum. Cassidy.
Stand aside me, boy. I'm celebrating.
You're celebrating what?
Sure, the drought is over. The beer strike ended.
Well, you look as though you've been making up for lost time.
I think I drank too much beer.
Really? Why?
Every time I perspire, me perspiration has a head on it.
Well, tell me, Ajax, do you think people plan their vacations?
Well, no, me boy, I don't plan nothing. I have the same vacation every summer.
You do?
To get away from the humdrum routine, the grind of doing nothing all year.
Yes?
For me vacation?
Yes?
I go to work for 2 weeks. Come on, you boy.
So long, Ajax. Let's go, Portland. I'll be late for my date at the music store.
You have a date?
Oh, say, is this a big night tonight? You know, one of the DeMarco sisters, Ann DeMarco, has written a song. Now, Al Goodman and his orchestra and the DeMarco sisters are going to do Ann's song for the first time on the air tonight. It's called Time Doesn't Change a Thing.
Since you have gone, I can't go on. No use in trying. For time didn't change a thing. I miss you so, you ought to know. You left me crying. And time didn't change.
Portland, this is the last time we'll ever walk down Main Street. Let's stop in and say goodbye to the Ford dealer.
All right. He's standing inside the door.
Oh, swell.
Well, Fred and Portland, this is a surprise.
This is our last program. We want to say goodbye.
Yes, Portland and I want to tell you and all the Ford dealers how wonderful it has been to work for you these past 2 years.
Thank you, Fred. What are you and Portland going to do this summer?
Well, part of the summer, we're going to drive around in our new Ford.
Yes, we may sell some cars for you now while we're out on the road this summer.
You don't have to sell Fords, Fred.
No.
The new Ford sells itself. The new Ford is the only car in its class with a V8 engine. The only one with 100 horsepower.
Say, I've heard Kenny say that on the program. Kenny said the V8 is the type of engine used in America's costliest car.
That's right. Yet a Ford with a V8 engine costs hundreds of dollars less than many other cars with six-cylinder engines. The Ford has more power for the weight the engine has to move than any other car on the road.
And Kenny always talks about the new Ford feel.
Yes, Fred, other features that contribute to the new Ford feel are the solid lifeguard body of heavy-gauge steel, the magic action brakes that are 35% easier to apply, and new springs, hydrocoil in the front, Paraflex in the rear.
Oh, Mama says the new Ford is the fashion car of the year.
That's true, Portland. The new Ford received the 1949 award from the New York Fashion Academy.
Say, on the program, too, Kenny says the Ford is a big car.
Yes, the new Ford has more hip room.
And can Mama use that hip room?
Yeah.
It has more shoulder room than any other car in its field. And big picture windows all around.
Oh, Mama likes big windows. She can see what everybody everybody's doing. Mama's nosy.
Say, well, this is all mighty interesting, hearing about all the features of the new Ford. But, Portland, I think we'd better leave.
Well, why, Fred? You bought a new Ford, didn't you?
Yes, but if you keep talking, I'll buy another one. Come on, Portland.
Happy vacation, kids.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
Gosh, it sure is hot out tonight, Portland.
I think I'll stop in the drugstore and get a frozen frosted.
A frozen frosted ought to go good now. Well, I'll see you later then.
Good night.
Good night, Portland. Gosh, I'm sure going to miss Main Street, the jewelry store, the grocery, the pawn shop. Say, who is this man in front of the pawn shop with a moose head under his arm?
Hello, Fred.
Henry Morgan. Henry, you in front of a pawn shop?
Fred, when I'm working, I'm in front of the cigar store.
Well, I know.
When I'm not working, I'm in front of the pawn shop. I gotta hawk this moose head.
Hawk? But, Henry, you've been working all winter.
I know I have, Fred, and I appreciate it.
And, Henry, I just read that you're going back on the air replacing Duffy's Tavern.
Yeah, but that doesn't start until July 6th.
But, Henry, what did you do with all... You worked all winter. What did you do with all your money?
Well, I got tired sitting around on the bare floor of the apartment, so I bought a rug and some furniture on the installment plan.
I see.
First week I was out of work. To make the payments on the furniture, I had to borrow $300 from a loan company.
Uh-huh.
Now I owe the loan company, so I have to pawn my moose head.
Well, Henry, confidentially, that is a pretty mangy-looking moose head you have there.
Fred, please, if it weren't for this moose head, I wouldn't be alive, out of work, and owing $300 today.
You mean the moose saved your life?
Yes, Fred, it did. Last winter, I went hunting up in Canada.
Yes?
Got lost in the woods for 12 days. I had nothing to eat.
Gosh.
I was sitting by the edge of a lake, watching myself slowly starve to death, when this moose peeked out from behind a tree.
You saw the moose, did you?
I did. I picked up my rifle.
Yes?
I was just about to pull the trigger when the moose looked at me with those big brown eyes.
Yes?
I didn't have the heart to shoot. I put down my rifle.
The moose knew that even though you were starving, Henry Morgan, you had spared his life.
Yes, and he was so grateful, that moose walked over to me and dropped dead.
And you ate the moose?
I tried to eat him, Fred, but I couldn't look into those big brown eyes.
No?
So I went around where the moose couldn't see me.
And you ate your fill?
Took me 3 days.
And when you finished?
Well, there was nothing left but the moose head. Fred, this moose head is my dearest friend. In fact, it's my only friend.
Well, Henry, if this moose head means so much to you, why pawn it?
Well, Fred, I gotta raise $300.
$300?
If I don't pay the Mohawk Loan Company by 4 o'clock, I'll lose my furniture.
Well, who owns this Mohawk Loan Company?
I don't know who the chiseler is, Fred.
Yeah?
But he wants his $300 by 4 o'clock today. Just this morning in the mail, I got a postcard showing a man sitting in the electric chair. Underneath, it said, "Don't let this happen to you. Pay your loan to Mohawk."
Henry, you have got to get $300.
But where?
I think I know where, Henry. Follow me. Well, Henry, here we are.
This is the Chase National Bank.
I'll see if this party is in. Say, guard.
Yes, sir.
We're looking for Mr. X.
Is Mr. X expecting you?
Yes, I'm a friend of Mr. X's.
Go through that iron door and down the circular staircase.
Thank you very much. Come on, Henry.
Fred, who is Mr. X?
Shh, Henry, his name is never mentioned.
Yeah, but do you think he'll lend me the $300?
Quiet, here's another guard.
You're looking for someone, gentlemen?
Mr. X.
Is Mr. X expecting you?
Yes, I'm a friend of Mr. X's.
Go down through this trap door and crawl through the tunnel.
Thank you. Come on, Henry.
Gee whiz, Fred, it's dark. Say, how much farther do we have to crawl?
Shh, Henry. There's a flashlight.
Halt. Who goes there?
It's all right, guard. We have some business with Mr. X.
Mr. X is in his personal vault. Straight ahead.
Thank you. Come on, Henry. Help me open this door.
Gee whiz. Fred, look at the money in this vault. It's stacked up to the ceiling.
Shh. I think Mr. X is coming.
Hello, Fred.
Mr. X, Fred, this is Jack Benny.
Well, Mr. X?
You can call me Jack, Fred. I like to keep everything informal around the vault.
Oh, well, thank you, Jack. I hope we're not interrupting.
No, it's all right, Fred. A little rest will do me good. I've been counting steadily since 5 o'clock this morning. I've got a cramp in my tongue from wetting my finger.
Jack, meet a friend of mine.
I'm Henry Morgan.
Morgan? Are you one of J.P.'s nephews?
No, I'm not related to J.P. Morgan.
You're not?
No.
Oh. Well, Fred, what's new?
Nothing much, Jack. How long are you going to be in town?
Oh, I'll be here counting all summer.
This is Mr. Benny's vacation, Henry. He always spends the summer in his vault here.
Gee, don't you miss the outdoors, Mr. Benny?
No, no. It's cool down here, and it's so nice and green.
Hey, you know something? I wouldn't mind spending a summer down here myself.
Mr. Morgan, is this the first time you've ever been in a vault?
This is the first time I've ever been in a bank.
You don't believe in banks.
Banks don't believe in me.
Jack, why don't you show Henry around your vault?
I'll be glad to, but before we start, Mr. Morgan, I have to take a few precautions.
Precautions?
Yes. First, I'll have to examine the bottom of your shoes.
For what?
A chewing gum. See, last summer, Rudy Valley came in here with chewing gum on his shoes. When he left, 20 $10 bills were missing, and Rudy was 4 inches taller.
Henry, why don't you take off your shoes?
All right, I think I will. Mr. Benny, you mind if I go through in my bare feet?
No, no, not at all. I'll carry your shoe just in case.
Oh, thank you.
Now, before we start, Mr. Morgan, are you a student of money?
Well, Henry knows what money is.
But I haven't been exposed to it lately.
Well, I generally give this talk with a pointer.
Well, do the best you can.
All right, I'll use one of my fingers. A long
finger. A long finger, yes, would be helpful.
Now, yes. Mr. Morgan, over here are my fives, here are my tens, here are my twenties, and this stack here is Confederate money.
Jack, what are you doing saving Confederate money?
Well, if the South ever comes back, brother, I'll be the John D. Rockefeller of Atlanta.
Tell me, Mr. Benny, what is this in the glass case?
Oh, that is the first dollar I ever made.
Well, it looks like a string of beads.
It's wampum.
The first dollar you ever made was wampum?
Yes. A nearsighted Indian passed through Waukegan when I was a boy. I sold him my mother's shawl for a blanket.
Oh, I see. Jack, don't you ever think of anything else but money?
If I ever do, I'll go right to a psychiatrist.
Tell me, when did you first think of money, Mr. Benny?
The day I was born, I was a bottle baby.
I know, but a lot of babies were bottle babies.
Well, I was the first baby that ever got a nickel back on the bottle.
And you've dedicated your entire life to the accumulation of money?
Yes, yes, my boy, I have it. It's my fond hope that when I die, I'll go to Fort Knox.
Well, Jack, the reason I brought Henry over...
Yeah, Mr. Benny, you see, by 4 o'clock...
4 o'clock. What time is it now?
It's 3:45.
The boy should be checking in. I wonder... Oh, that must be one of the boys now. Come in.
Number one reporting, Mr. Benny.
Okay, number one.
We had a big day, 4,682 nickels.
Good, good.
So long, Mr. Benny.
So long, number one.
Say, Jack, what are all those nickels?
I run my own turnstile in the subway.
But nickels?
Since the city went to a dime, I'm cleaning up.
Mr. Benny.
Excuse me, Mr. Morgan. That's probably one of the other boys. Come in.
Here you are, Mr. Benny.
Oh, thanks, Mert.
We had a big day today, 7,600 nickels.
Good.
So long, Mr. Benny.
So long, Mert.
Jack, another turnstile?
No, I also run my own slot at the automat.
But how do you...
I have a compartment with a live herring in it.
A live
you
herring?
See, when someone puts a nickel in the slot and the little window opens...
Yes?
The herring feels the draft and slaps the window closed with his tail.
Jack, you mean?
I trained this herring, and it was time well spent.
Well, how long have you had the herring working for you in the automat?
Only 6 months. He's already brought me in over $800.
Say,
Mr. Benny, by 4 o'clock, if I don't have
$300... Excuse me, Mr. Morton. Come in.
Here it is, Mr. Benny.
Thanks, Pop.
I got a whole chimney full today.
Good, good.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Benny.
Merry Christmas, Pop.
Say, Jack, what is that Santa Claus doing in here?
Why, he works for me, Fred.
A Santa Claus working in June?
Yes, for people who do their Christmas shopping very early.
Mr. Benny, the reason that I'm here, you
yes,
see,
Jack, look, Henry has to borrow $300 by 4 o'clock, or some shyster with a loan company will take his furniture and his moose head.
Yes, Mr. Benny, see, we thought that maybe you
$300.
I'm a good risk, Mr. Benny. I've been working all winter.
Yes.
You worked all winter and you're broke?
I'm flatter than something that's been stepped on.
Mr. Morgan, this is rather a personal question, but what do you do with your money?
I spend it.
I see your problem already. How do you spend your money?
Well, after a hard day's work, I generally go into a bar for a cocktail.
Yeah?
I buy drinks for everybody, and then we go to dinner.
We?
After buying a few drinks, I suddenly acquire a crowd of friends.
And you buy everybody dinner?
Well, if I bring guests in to eat, I have to pick up the check, don't I?
I've heard of it being...
Well, after dinner, the whole gang follows me to a nightclub. I pay the check and tip everybody wearing a mess jacket. Always end up broke. That's why I need $300.
Mr. Morgan, if you would do as I do, you wouldn't need $300.
Well, what do you do?
Well, after a hard day's work like you, I go into a bar.
And you buy a drink?
First, I let out a shriek so everybody sees me, and then I faint.
You faint?
A crowd gathers. Somebody gives me 3 or 4 brandies to bring me 2. I get up off the floor, shake hands all around, and leave for dinner.
Do you eat alone, Mr. Benny?
No, I usually find a group of friends at a table, and I sit with them.
Who pays for the dinner?
Well, all during the meal, I keep feeling my pat of butter.
You keep feeling your butter?
Yes. When it comes time to pay, I reach for the check. While my hand is slipping around, somebody else picks it up.
Well, I'd like to know something. After dinner, do you go out to a nightclub?
Always. I order champagne for everybody. Then just before the floor show finishes, I swallow 4 sleeping pills fast.
4 sleeping pills?
Yes. I don't know how the party ends up or who pays the check. I just wake up in bed the next day well rested.
You see, Henry, Mr. Benny really knows how to live.
Well, and nobody ever made me this cheap on my own program.
Well, Mr. Cheap, Mr. Benny, I'll certainly follow your advice in the future. Well, there's just one more thing.
Yes, Mr. Morgan.
Can you let me have $300?
Yes, Jack. Henry has to have $300 by 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock? Why, it's 4:05 now. Excuse me, that's the phone. I'll answer it in the booth.
Fred, it's 4:05. I'm ruined.
Now, Henry, don't go to pieces.
Well, Fred, my furniture, my moose head, the Mohawk Loan Company will take everything.
Henry, I'll go home with you. Maybe I can talk to the shyster who's president of that Mohawk Loan Company.
Oh, I'm sorry, fellas. I have to leave. That phone call was urgent. Some business just came up.
Well, let's go, Henry.
Maybe I can give you fellas a lift. Which way are you going?
Well, I'm going home. I live on East 61st Street.
Really? I'm going to East 61st Street.
I live at 331.
Now, that's a coincidence. I'm going to 331.
Then you must be coming to my house.
I don't know. I have to pick up some furniture and a moose head.
Jack Benny, besides running a turnstile in the subway, a slot in the automat...
I also happen to be the shyster who's president of the Mohawk Loan Company.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. WNBC and WNBC-FM, New York.